You're probably thinking that I allowed myself to get drawn into a fight with Pete, and that I got into big trouble with Sally Mae. Nope. Iron discipline prevailed, kept me safe and out of trouble. Pretty impressive, huh? Okay, maybe I did feel myself being pulled into a major confrontation with Mr. Greedy Scrap Stealer, and maybe it did appear that I might lose control of the situation. I mean, what dog could just sit there and watch Pete hog all the scraps? There we were, the cat and I, standing nose to nose. He arched his back and began to yowl, and you know what that yowling does to me. It brings all my savage instincts rushing to the surface. I lifted my lips and exposed two rows of deadly, enormous teeth, and a growl began to rumble in the depths of my throat. Yes, it appeared that we were rushing towards a major episode, and suddenly I was helpless to pull myself back from the brink of the edge. I stared into the face of the yowling cat, then began plotting all the targeting data that would... You know what saved me? Slim. Just then, he drove up in his pickup, honked his horn, and yelled, "Come on, dogs, let's go feed those cattle." He must have noticed that I was, well, all bristled up and ready to launch a strike against the cat. He yelled, "Hank, leave the cat alone and come on. We're burning daylight." I took a step backwards and began the disengagement procedure. I switched over to friendly tail, lowered the strip of hair down the middle of my back, and closed the outer doors of my tooth torpedoes. "Excuse me, kitty, but I've just been called out on an important mission. Your daily thrashing will have to wait. I have more important things to do." He gave me a sour smile. "Well, just darn the luck. I had you going there for a minute." "Ha! You had nothing, kitty. Everything was going according to my plan. Now I'll have to eat the rest of the scraps myself. Darn." Slim honked his horn again. I began backing away. "Yes, and I hope you choke on them. I wish you nothing but fleas and bed sores and ringworms, Pete. We'll settle this score another time." And with that, I whirled around and marched away, leaving the cat standing in the rubble of his own shambles. Also playing with my bacon scraps, the little pest. But, oh well. The important thing is that Slim needed help feeding the east side of the ranch. And you'll notice that he invited me, not the cat, to help him. And I did. I made a huge contribution to the feeding process, and by noon, we had fed four pastures. We returned to ranch headquarters around 12. I had seen no sign or symptom that Slim was brooding about anything. He seemed his usual carefree self. But when we pulled around to the back of the house and walked up to the gate, Loper was standing there. There was a furrow in his brow. His eyes were tight and pinched, and he was staring off into the distance. Slim walked over towards Loper and immediately leaned against the gatepost. "What's wrong with you?" "Plenty. I've got to go into town and renew my loan at the bank." "Uh-oh. I heard on the radio that the cattle market fell out of bed again." "No, it didn't fall out of bed. It fell off the roof and landed in the commode. It couldn't have come at a worse time. We're out of grass and I've got to buy some hay." Slim scratched his ear. "That puts bankers in a bad humor." Loper nodded. "He wants to look at all our numbers. Numbers on everything. Cows, calves, yearlings, the cost of feed, labor, fuel, pickups, every stinking detail. Sally Mae's been working on it all morning." "Well, I thought we were doing pretty well. I mean, we ain't exactly been goofing off out here. At the end of the day, I feel like I've worked pretty hard." Loper shook his head. That's not it. We work hard enough, all of us. Heck, if hard work was the answer, we'd be loaning money to the banker. But when you don't have any control over the price of your product, and when you have to operate on borrowed money, his voice trailed off into silence. Slim shifted his weight to the other leg. Are we in trouble? I don't know. We might be. It all depends on how that banker's feeling at 3 o'clock this afternoon. A guy never knows. Well, I sure don't want to be a burden to y'all. If my paycheck's a problem... Loper shook his head. Don't worry about it. We'll take things one day at a time. That's all we can do. How about some lunch? Oh, all at once I ain't feeling so hungry. I might just drift down to my place and grab a little nap. Loper studied him for a moment. Now, Slim, you're not going to brood about this, are you?
Nope.
Good. It won't help one bit.
I ain't going to brood about it, I promise.
And then he did something odd. He shook hands with Loper and smiled.
I'll see you around, partner. Good luck at the bank.
And with that, they parted company. At the time, I had no idea. Well, Slim headed for his pickup in that slow walk of his, and naturally I went with him. I mean, he'd mentioned something about a nap, right? And Slim had been known to let dogs into his house, right? Hey, I'd spent the morning working and slaving on the ranch, and the thought of grabbing a few Z's beside the wood-burning stove sounded pretty good to me. Well, guess who joined us near the gas tanks? Mr. Sleep Till Noon. Mr. Never Sweat. Drover. He heard us coming and came bouncing over to join us.
Hi, Hank. Gosh, you're up early this morning.
I gave him a withering glare. Morning?
Ha!
Some of us have already put in a day's work.
Yeah, I hated to miss it, but after I touched base the second time, this old leg was tearing me up. I figured I needed to give it a little rest.
I see. Well, how's your old leg now? I noticed that you were bouncing around like a little kangaroo.
Yeah, sleep does wonders. It's almost as good as new.
Great. Glad to hear it. Oh, and I hope you don't feel guilty about leaving me with the total responsibility of running the ranch.
Well, it bothers me sometimes, but I know you can handle it. Where are we going?
I don't know where you're going. I'm going down to Slim's place.
Oh, good. I think I'll tag along. I'm all rested now.
We're going to take a nap, Slim and I.
Oh, good. Me too. I'm just about worn out.
I shot him a sideways glare and... Oh, hell. There's no future in trying to talk sense to a dunce. We loaded up in the cab of the pickup. Slim got in behind us, and we headed down the creek to his shack. When we reached the county road, Slim started talking to us.
You know, boys, for the longest time I've had it in my head to go to Alpine, down in the Davis Mountains, but I never quite made it. Pickup went bust, and we got busy with the cattle work. One thing and another. I always aimed to get down there in the springtime when the snow melted off, but I just never got around to it.
I had a hard time figuring out what he was talking about, but that wasn't exactly the biggest shock of the year. I mean, Slim was the kind of guy who thought out loud, and sometimes what he said... Well, I hate to put it this way, but sometimes what he said didn't make a whole lot of sense. Part of my job as head of ranch security is learning how to respond to the humans around here. When to pay attention and when to, well, not pay such close attention. What I've learned over the years is that when they're not yelling, most of what they're saying can be ignored. Slim wasn't yelling, so I gave no more thought to his rambling about, where was it this time? Alpine? See, I'd heard him ramble about Alpine before, how he'd always dreamed of riding his horse through the mountains and working on a ranch so big they'd have to bring sunlight in on pack horses. Then he'd laugh at himself and say, "Now, ain't that just like a cowboy? Always dreaming about a place that's bigger and wilder." And as far as I knew, he'd never been to Alpine. He just talked about it. And I was pretty sure, knowing Slim as I did, that he would never get around to doing it. Too much trouble. When we reached Slim's shack, we dogs raced to the front door. We always had this little scuffle, don't you know, to see which one of us would get into the house first. It had to do with which one of us would get the choicest spot in front of the stove and the softest piece of carpet. In other words, this was not small bananas. Potatoes. Whatever. It was no small matter, and in fact, it was pretty darn important. But Slim was taking his sweet time. He didn't go straight to the door, but stopped and looked at the shack.
"It's been a pretty good place."
"Fine, but it was cold outside. Could we hurry this along?" Finally, he opened the door. And you'll be proud to know that I beat Drover to the stove and nailed down the very best spot. I circled the spot three times, just as we dogs are supposed to do, and flopped down. It was wonderful. I wasted no time pushing my rowboat of sleep out into the vast sea of something. Dreams, I suppose. I launched myself into the warm embrace of sleep and dreams, and the next thing I knew, that was odd. Something landed on my left ear. I jerked myself out of the warm embrace of so forth, lifted my head, and cut my eyes from side to what? Another something landed on the top of my head. What was going on here? I ran a quick data check on the various parts of my enormous body. My ears were at the full alert position. I had a sneaking suspicion that we had a flea running loose. And if that was the case, I had every intention of... what? A third something smacked me, and this time right between the eyes. It was wet. Was the roof leaking? Okay, that did it. I was wide awake now and ready to do some serious... I looked up.
Huh?
You'll never guess what had caused those mysterious drips.